You know, nobody likes to ask for money, but you know what? You got to start doing it. If you're not doing it and you're getting paid at the end of the job, you're floating way too much money because you should not be financing somebody else's lifestyle.
Hey, fighters. Today I'm excited to let you in on a discussion here that I had with Craig Cody. Listen, Craig Cody is a certified public accountant. Yeah, CPA. He's also a certified tax coach. What's interesting about him, though, is he's not your average accountant guy, right? He is actually a former police officer, New York City police officer with 17 years experience on the force. And we're going to get into a bit of how he made that transition to being an accountant and stuff like that. But listen, guy knows his stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the biggest mistakes that business owners make when it comes to their taxes and all that good stuff. Listen, he's also an Amazon bestseller. He's got a book called Secrets of a Tax-Free Life. And then he also has a book called 10 Biggest Tax Mistakes That Cost Business Owners Thousands. So check out the show notes. And with that being said, Craig Cody. Craig, what's going on? Welcome to the fight, man.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm psyched to be here today.
You got a funny accent, man. Where are you from?
New York.
We got some guys in our coaching groups that sound just like, if I close my eyes, you sound like Alan Shule, who was also, he just retired from the force.
That Shule name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yep. Alan and Aaron. And his wife, and they're in, I forget what town in New York, but they're up that way. So I think he was in the city and then he relocated to another town. I think, I don't know, I'm probably so butchering.
My kids tell me I have an accent too, so.
Yeah. So you're obviously from New York.
And, yes.
And as I stated in the intro, you're a CPA and a tax coach, but you had a life before that, man. What did that look like?
This is my second career, yes. I had a good life before it. I actually retired as an NYPD lieutenant. I spent 17 years there. Before I went to join the police department, I was an economics major. So I always liked numbers. And somewhere along the way, I really got into the tax part of it and saving people money. It started with estate planning, and that kind of went out the window. And here we are now. I mean, you know, business owners and tax planning saved them a lot of money.
So like when you were like arresting a perp and he was like resisting or something, did you be like, dude, chill the hell out or I'm going to whip some math out on your ass, man?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
So let me ask you this. You work, how long you been doing this now?
18 years.
18 years. Okay. So what would you say a conservative percentage would be of like you have your top line income, whatever it is.
Right.
So for the sake of just our listeners and the easy math here, let's say you're $1 million company. What percentage are you throwing away from that because you don't have your shit together with your taxes on average that you see when you take over with a business? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It could be, you know, overpaying taxes by 50%, you know, because nobody's looking at the numbers. Nobody's doing any kind of planning, and it's not rocket science either.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so,
if somebody's paying, you know, 80 grand a year in taxes, let's just pick a number.
Correct.
Another 40 grand or
we could save them. Yeah.
Probably up to 50%. Okay. So this is big stuff that we're talking about. That's important. You know, so those of you that are tempted to go, oh, that we're going to talk about taxes and math and, you know, this is going to be hard for me to follow as you're listening to this podcast, just stick with us here because I know Craig's going to simplify some of these things. And like you said a minute ago, it's not that complicated. Well, it's not that complicated for somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
Right. But it's all about like keeping more of what you make. I mean, everyone's busting their butt out there, you know, so how about we keep some of that?
Yeah. So, what's a tax coach? You call yourself a tax coach.
So a tax coach is somebody that works with clients to lower their tax liability in a legal way. So, you know, most accountants are really good. They put the right numbers in the right boxes, but it ends there. a tax coach, somebody like myself, is going to look at ways to legally reduce that tax liability, as well as put the right numbers in the right boxes. So, you know, I mean, as a profession, you know, we're probably not the most personable group of people, okay? Mm-hmm. So we don't like to sit down with people, and we don't like to go through the numbers for the most part, especially, you know, big, burly contractors, rough and tough guys. Yep. You know, we typically don't want to do that. So what we need to do is just spend a little time, just like guys, they're going to buy a truck, a piece of equipment. They do some research. Let's do a little bit of research and keep some of your money.
All right. So, man, my head is all over. I got this list of things that I want to talk about. I'm just trying to think how we're going to weave this together here today, because I want to kind of back up before we get into the nuts and the bolts of math. Just using a blanket term there. What should I expect? What's the ideal relationship look like with a CPA?
An ideal relationship is you should be communicating at least once a month. All right. So what we do with our clients is when we go through their books and everything and we get them straightened out every month, we schedule a Zoom call and we go through the P&L. And we might be on 1 week, one month, we might be on for 5 minutes. Another month, we might be on for a half hour. Depends on what's going on. And the more you communicate back and forth, the more you can help people, okay? The more they tell you, you know what's going on. Oh, yeah, I'm starting another business. Or I'm looking to, you know, start another line of work. You know, what's the best way to do it? But if you don't have that conversation until the following February or March, there's not a whole lot of stuff you can do.
Well, and I'm not ripping on CPAs, but you're going to probably get less of their best focus and energy when you're waiting until February and March to ask them.
You're definitely going to get a lot less of their focus and energy because, you know, they're in a time crunch and, you know, they just got too much work to do. And, you know, in a short period of time, they don't have time to think about, okay, what could we do? Or what could we have done? And this is what you should do. All right. Whereas when you have that conversation every month, not only are you learning about each other and what their business is like and how to help them, but you're also making sure that they implement the things you told them to do. Mm-hmm. So how hard is implementation, right? It's, we could go to all the conferences we want, but if we don't implement, it doesn't do anything for us.
So, monthly, we should have a monthly conversation. It could be long, it could be short, whatever it is. Something you talked about earlier was a tax coach is going to help understand the goals of the business, where you want to go, and kind of help guide you and things like that. So, like, I want to get super practical here, so which is why I'm about to ask us to do this next thing. Can we role play like 2 minutes of what a conversation like that might be? Like,
sure.
If you get on the phone with me, say I'm a new client of yours, you know, I'm a contractor, you know, I'm a painting contractor, right? And, you know, I do $500,000 a year currently. And I just hired you as my CPA and we're going to have this call. What are some of the things you're asking me to help figure out what this planning thing looks like?
Well, I want to know what's going on at home. Okay. Are you married? Do you have kids?
Okay. Yeah, I'm married. I have I have 3 kids. My boys are both 18.
Perfect.
They both live at the house. My daughter's 13.
Do they do any work for the business?
One of my sons does video stuff for the business.
Okay. So do you pay him?
Yeah, he's on a salary. He's a W-2 employee, and I pay him like $500 a month, and he just does little things here for me here and there.
Great. Okay, as long as you document it, that's all good stuff. And do you ever work out of the home?
And I just got a new office here that I leased, that I'm planning on leasing for 2 years because I have a bigger plan with what we're doing. But on occasion, I'll do calls out of the home. Yeah, I work out of the home.
Sure.
Not full-time anymore.
If you're like most business owners that I talk to, you probably spend at least 15 hours a week answering emails, doing billing, or whatever it is from home. Do you have a home office? Do you use a home office expense on your tax return?
We have the last several years, but we literally just bought a house, and part of the deal of buying this house, we downsized and didn't want to put an office in the house, which is why I have this place that I'm leasing now that's eighth of a mile from my house.
Okay, but you probably have a room that you use exclusively to do any of that? No,
I don't. There's an area in the basement. I sit on the couch. When I need to work at home, I sit on the couch.
Well, maybe we should segregate an area out that you can use so you could work in the home office deduction. And one of the beautiful things is, do you have a gym at home?
A gym?
Yeah, a home gym?
My garage.
Okay, do you have a pool?
No.
Okay, you're up in Colorado, so you might not have a pool, but do you know that you could have a home athletic facility if you have an office in your home, and then you could deduct the cost of operating, whether it's that gym or the pool, and even depreciate it?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. And once you have that home office, it also, you know, opens up your travel from your home to your other office to be deductible.
Okay.
So you want to do that.
My eighth of a mile walk every morning?
Exactly. So... do you support any parents?
Not yet, but it's probably coming.
Okay. So there's some planning we could do down the road for that. Not just to put them on payroll, because that's not legitimate, but there's some planning we do for that. Do you own any real estate?
Just my house right now.
Okay. So, yeah. So tell me about your business.
That's right. I'm a painting business. So we'll do that. So we've been in business, 2.5 years, roughly. I'm making this up right now. I'm actually rewinding back to my former life, right? Been in business 2.5 years. We just did $550,000 in revenue. We do about 100 projects a year currently, and I have 4 guys that work in the field that are all employees. And we do mainly residential painting with... very light commercial. You know, we might do an office building or something, you know.
Okay. All right. Good.
Repaint or something. So.
Are you familiar with any of the changes in the new tax law, such as the Section 199 deduction? That's qualified business income. That's going to give you like an extra 20% deduction off of your net income?
No clue.
Okay. So basically, one of the things you heard all the thing about lowering the corporate tax rate. Mm-hmm. Right. And that basically affects big businesses, not the typical small business. So what they did is they created something called qualified business income, and painters would fit into that. And what that does is, let's just say at the end of the year, you net $100,000, you'd get an extra $20,000 deduction, you know, on your personal tax return against that $100. So that $100 turns into $80,000 worth of taxable deduction. So you can basically do some planning to make sure, number one, you maximize that and you meet the criteria for that. A lot of guys where they pay people, you know, on 1099s and stuff like that, they have to make some changes because you need some W-2 income. So there's a lot of things. And what I would say is, as we progress through going through your bookkeeping and mm-hmm. seeing really what's going on in your business, we'll be able to make a lot more suggestions to you that's going to help you save some money.
Good stuff. So let's jump out of the role play here.
Okay.
So I just wanted to give people a glimpse of the types of conversations that they should be having with their CPA. I've been blessed. I've had my same bookkeeper, Gina, for 15, 16 years now, whatever it is. She's the only bookkeeper I've ever had, which is crazy because most business owners I know have like 40 of them
right. In
the same time frame. And these are this is somewhat of a conversation that I have with her on a regular basis. Like, we're on the same page with some things and all that other stuff. So, and I think what I've seen in a lot of contractors, a lot of business owners, is they're intimidated by sitting down and having this conversation because we often don't know the lingo. We often, does that make sense? Like, we don't understand. Like, even when you say something as simple as an additional 20% deduction or whatever it is, sometimes if we don't live in that world and speak that language every day, it takes a little while for our brain to catch up. And I'm just sharing me. Like, that's me. Like, I've got my own issues and things like that and insecurities and this and that. So I want to encourage everybody to just dig in and work with somebody that you can have a conversation with this, because if they're not educating you, if they're not taking the time to really understand where you want to go, then to me, that's one sign that you're probably working with the wrong person. So, all right. Actually, this would be a good time for this question. How do I know if my CPA is good?
Yeah.
Because I mean, the average human being doesn't know jack about taxes.
Correct. And so I would say,
how do we ever know?
Well, most of them are good at putting, if he's a CPA, you know, I'm going to assume he's good at putting the right numbers in the right boxes. But if he's really good, he's going to be communicating with you. All right. That's how you tell if he's really good. Does he talk to me? How often does he talk to me? If I'm only talking to him during tax season, you know, you're leaving a lot on the table. So okay. I think it's really all about communication.
All right. So, that was actually a pretty simple answer. I expected you to give me something more complicated, but that's good. That's what I love about this. Like, you're just like, well, just communicate. Which is kind of funny. Guys are like, hey, how can I be more profitable in the field? I'm like, hey, have a weekly meeting with your foreman.
right.
You know, how can I be a better salesperson to get my sales team going? Communicate. How can I have better relationships with my customers and less problems on the job site? Communicate. So, all right. So other ways that a business owner can use a CPA to their advantage. What are some things that come to mind?
They could, looking at your numbers, where's your profitability? Where should it be? Where's your cost of goods? How about your overhead? That's a big thing. You know, where should it be? What are you overspending on? And based on my industry, where should my net profit be? You know, and, you know, whether you want to do it before your salary or after your salary, you know, if your profitability is at 10% before your salary, okay, well, you know, you have to eat, right?
Right.
You know, so we need to look at it maybe after your salary. What's a reasonable salary?
Okay. Give me a story, maybe a contractor or somebody, your service business or whatever you've worked with, where it was like, you know, within the course of a few months or a year or so, like it was a total game changing scenario where you give me some.
It's just, you know, you start with that first call and you're still kind of getting used to the numbers, seeing what they're spending their money on and stuff like that. And you start giving them a little tip and, you know, pay themselves first, which is always a good thing. Okay. And now they feel a little bit better because now they're putting a little bit of money in their pocket. Things at home are probably a little bit less stressful, right? Because they're paying themselves first. And maybe if the profit's really low at that point, it doesn't matter because they got money. They're putting money in their pocket. Then they could start addressing the different ways that they could, you know, look to streamline some of the expenses. Are they building enough? You know, so many times it's like, you'll go through the numbers and, you know, they're building in profit, but they're not building their salary into that. So we'll kind of say, okay, look at what your overhead is. Figure out, okay, that's X amount of dollars. How many man hours do you have a month? Now divide that number by your man hours. So now you have to make sure you tack that onto each hour that you charge per right. guy plus the taxes. And that's just kind of break even.
Yep.
You know, and then you want to add your salary to that. So whether we add that number into the total and so it's all built into the hourly or we add it on, you know, but that makes a big difference. Mm.
So something you said a minute ago was, you know, hey, you got some money in your pocket, things are better at home, but maybe you're not showing a profit or you're showing less of a profit or however you worded it exactly. Can you share with people? I literally had this conversation not too long ago with a group that, you know, cash flow is like is the lifeblood of the business, right? Yeah. And so I guarantee, I know this, I know there are guys listening to this right now that they look at their P&L and it shows, you know, 80 grand profit, net profit at the very bottom or whatever, 100 grand, 5 grand, whatever it is for that time period. And then they look at their bank account and it ain't jiving. Where's that 80 grand? So like, give us kind of that snapshot of the difference between, you know, profit, cash flow, what a healthy business.
Well, I mean, it's like you have that conversation with somebody and oh, I made $100,000. Where is it? You know, and by having good books, then you could go and see where it is. Okay. You could see whether they took distributions or you took you paid your personal credit card, $100,000 so far. This is where that money went.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you took this trip or whatever it was. Or you bought equipment. So what I think you want to get them first is making sure they're actually billing or as you charge what you're worth, mm-hmm. right? So you could pay your expenses and pay yourself. So that's the first conversation. And, you know, sometimes guys don't realize it. You know, who teaches this? Nobody teaches this, okay? Guys don't realize, okay, you know, I need to figure out all my overhead, add that to my cost, and then that's my net after that. You know, whereas it's, okay, I'm paying the guy, you know, $1,000 for the work. I'm getting paid $1,500. I have a $500 profit. No. What about all your overhead? What about the trucks? Right. What about all that right. other stuff? So you have to get people thinking the right way.
So what, talk to me about cash flow, because that's again, one of those things that I had a conversation with a guy the other day. I said, the most important thing that you can do right now in your business is have oxygen coming into the business every day and having deposits happening more frequently. It does you no good to have a 60, 70% gross profit project that you do one or two of those a month if you've got all these other days in between deposits in the business, because cash flow is like blood or oxygen. It's going in and out, right? It's fluid. It's moving. It's and money is always flowing out of the business. And so I'm just curious what strategies, what thoughts do you have on just improving cash flow?
So you got a bill. Okay. So that means you got to spend some time in the office and you got to get those bills out. It's kind of like, like you said, it's like oxygen. Without that, you can't breathe. And if you don't breathe, you die. Yeah. So you got to get those bills out there. You also need to make sure you get that deposit out there. You know, nobody likes to ask for money, but you know what? You got to start doing it. If you're not doing it and you're getting paid at the end of the job, you're floating way too much money. And you got to make sure that you're, depending on the type of jobs you're doing, that you're getting paid when you should get paid. All right.
So God, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
but
huge.
Asking for that initial money and knowing when you're getting paid throughout the job, because you should not be financing somebody else's lifestyle.
Say and that one again. Say
you
that
should
one.
Not should not be financing somebody else's lifestyle. You know what? Yeah. That goes in all industries. That happens across the board. You know, contractors aren't special in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as my coach used to say, charge what you're worth and get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. Get paid. Hey, you don't need sales. You need your sanity. Like, your phone's ringing off the hook. You've been in business a while. You're selling so much stuff that you have no idea how you're going to hold it together, you know, and get it all produced. And the last thing you feel like you need to do is sell another job. Okay? But what if you could be more selective about the jobs that you take? Only selling the high profit work. Listen, then you can make better use of your time. You could hire more help to get the work done. In short, you could relax a little. Maybe you could pay off all your debts in the next couple months. All right, whatever it is. See, getting better at sales doesn't just mean selling more. In fact, you may be able to sell less and still make more money. See, and that's what we got going on in the Contractor Sales Academy. It's for the guy like you that's already successful. He's already making 100 grand a year, personally. He's already built a business that's 500,000, 750, a million or more in revenue. And he's already knocking at the door of being ultra successful. See, that's who it's for. It's not for the guy who's just starting out. It's not for the guy who is having a hard time, you know, figuring out how he's going to scrape together, you know, $7,500 for a real website. This is for the guy who's ready to protect his time, who's ready to understand at a deeper level how to connect with clients, how to spot tire kickers that are never going to buy, okay, and how to really learn what's most important to the prospect, because you know that that leads to better experiences, higher profit, repeat business, and all those other good things that come with the business that's kicking ass. See, when you master these skills, you can work less than you are today while still putting more money in the bank. So I want to encourage you that if you're already successful in your contracting business, if you're already making good money, then let's take it to the next level. Let's give you your life back. Let's stop stealing time from your family. No more 10, 12, 14 hour days for you. It's time to change the way that you approach the selling in your contracting business. And that's why I want to invite you to get on the phone with me and have a conversation about whether or not the Contractor Sales Academy is a good fit for you. So head to ContractorSalesAcademy.com, click the button. Let's get in touch and let's change your future and give some time and some sanity back to you and your family. So biggest mistake you see small business owners make?
Not keeping their books. You know, they every single time we take somebody over where they didn't keep their books, okay, and we go through and we reconstruct the books, you know, totally underestimating what their expenses really are. Mm-hmm. You know, that cash that you lay out on every job for whatever it is, you know, that's in the wind. Where'd it go? You know, and depending on the business, it could turn into a lot of money.
Yeah.
But accurately, you know, getting those books on a regular basis.
So I recently downloaded your your 10 most expensive tax mistakes that cost you thousands.
Correct.
And the first thing you come out of the gate with is failing to plan. You know, and you say here, hey, if you're, you know, what's it say here? I don't care how good your accountant is with a stack of receipts on April 15th. If you didn't know that you could set up a Section 105 plan, whatever the hell that is, and write off your kid's braces as a business expense, there's nothing you could do on April 15th. You lose that deduction. Okay, so you talk about planning. Wrong expectations as being a second mistake. What is, dig into that a little bit.
There is no magic. You know, everything needs to be documented and somebody has to document it, whether it's you or your CPA. And you have to realize, yes, you're going to pay taxes. All right. If you're making money, you're going to pay taxes. So that's really wrong expectations. And just to kind of plug my book and let you know, I'm going to offer your listeners a free paper copy of my most recent book that's actually updated for the new tax code, which is the 10 most expensive tax mistakes that cost business owners thousands. So awesome. I'll give you a link and they can, you know, get a free copy.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So I feel like this is a topic that, the hesitation in my voice here, and we're looking at each other in video, is like my mind wants to go to so many places because I'm thinking of individual clients of mine right now. I'm thinking of people in our sales academy. I'm thinking of people in our contractor fight groups and things like that, that have all these different financial issues. And I can honestly say that probably 90% of their crap would be better if they did what you just said a minute ago, and that's just keep your books, keep accurate books.
Now, I tell people, don't look at your accounting fee as an expense. Look at it as an income item. Mm-hmm. Because if you do it right, you're going to save a lot more than the fees.
Oh, totally. And I mean, I even tell people, I'm like, and this is just me. This is how I roll. I know others can do this, but you know, one of my business partners does his own QuickBooks and all that stuff, and he's freaking loaded and does great, you know? He got his act together, but 99% of contractors should never even know how to operate freaking QuickBooks, in my opinion. That's the last thing in the world you should be trying to learn. Pay somebody else to do it. I mean, we get pissed off. You probably do too. Like when people go, hey, I'm going to do my own taxes, right? And you're like, freaking hack, you know? And that's what we say as contractors. Like, I'm going to paint my own house. I'm going to build my own deck. And we're like, man, they're going to screw the job up. It's going to take longer. It's going to be more expensive, and it's not going to be done totally right.
Exactly.
And it's going to be a headache, and it's going to drag on forever. And that's how I feel about guys that try to do their own books. I don't care if you're a one-person business or a 100-person business. The last thing in the world I believe a contractor business owner should be doing is his own books. And so, damn it, pay whatever it is, because like you said, it's truly an income item.
And what is that time costing you? What can you be out there selling? Uh-huh. Yeah. So are you doing $12 an hour work? Are you licking stamps? Yeah.
Right. Well, it's, you know, a lot of guys go, I don't have time to train my people in the field. I don't have time to network and market and business development. I'm like, you do have the time. The problem is you're not saying no to the wrong crap or all the crap you shouldn't be doing. So, what are we missing? What did we not kind of touch on a little bit here today that you think is important before we sign on?
I think important, you know, is we talked a little bit about Section 199 and have that conversation with your CPA to make sure you're set to take advantage of that. All right. And are we operating in the right entity type? Mm. Are we sole proprietor? Are we an LLC? Are we an S corporation? Are we a corporation? Trust me, I see them all. You see people operating as they're a regular C corporation. You know, so it's double taxation, you know. So that's a big one. You know, having the wrong business entity can cost you a lot of money.
And there's, I take it there's not one size fits all, because it all depends on your situation in life and where you are and everything from kids to a home to whatever.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, and typically what happens is, you know, they call the attorney and he thinks an LLC is great for, and maybe it is great for legal liability protection, mm-hmm. but there's no conversation with the CPA in there. And maybe then you can have the best of both worlds if you both had a little communication.
Gotcha. So, how does, you know, You got a contractor that's listening to this right now, and he's like, man, I got to talk to this Craig guy. how do we go about getting in touch with you? How do we find you?
Sure.
So that they can get the help that they need.
Sure. Well, we're going to give you the links, and our website is craigcodyandcompany.com, but there'll be a special link for the book and everything. Our phone number is 516-869-4051. And if you call, Adina will schedule a one-to-one with me, and we'll talk about what's going on. And email is craig@ccodycpa.com. So that's the way to get in touch with us. We have 9 people in the office here. We have our 2 interns this year for the summer, so there's 11 of us. And, they all do – I have a great staff. They do a great job, and, we have clients all over the country.
Well, good deal. Well, listen, I appreciate you you getting in touch with us here and coming on and sharing some of this stuff, because this is important stuff. This is the non-sexy stuff in the business, honestly, that ends up making you a shitload of money.
Keeping more of what you make. You know, what can you do with all that extra money that you're giving to the government that you don't have to?
Well, amen to that. So, well, Craig, I appreciate you you being here. And guys, hit the links, get that book, and reach out to Craig and make sure that you're all set up straight. And you're taking advantage of everything you can so that you're keeping more of what you're making or bringing in. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars. Craig, we'll see you next time, buddy.
Thank you very much for having me.